Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Once again, good morning. We have yet again another fantastic crowd here this morning. So glad that you are present for our attendance as we strive for no other goal than to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I'd like to extend a warm invitation for you to come back tonight. We meet at 5:30 on Sunday nights, and we will look at Psalm 100, one of the more famous psalms, if you will, a psalm of singing. So I hope you can make it back for that tonight at 5:30. One other thought that I just had has nothing to do with the lesson, but I love the song, How Shall the Young Secure Their Hearts? And I think it is so cool that we sing a song that Beethoven wrote. You ever look at who writes songs, the one that composed the notes and the one that composed the lyrics? Well, Beethoven had a hand in that one, and so people have been singing that song for hundreds of years, and the truth is still the same as when he wrote it. There's some other cool things about songs, but I'm not talking about songs this morning. This morning, I want to talk about Christian joy, or that is joy that a Christian can experience. Our lesson text is taken from Philippians chapter 4. If you make notes in your Bibles, maybe at the beginning of Philippians, I would probably write some effect of Acts or AC, and then 16. Because we see in Acts chapter 16 is where Paul, on one of his missionary journeys, he actually comes in to the city of Philippi. We're familiar with the story because there's a lady that's possessed with a demon, and she's doing all these things, and Paul and Silas cast the demon out, and he's thrown in jail by the Philippian jailer. So all these events happened when Paul went through Philippi. On that journey, he established a church. Now, probably about 62 AD, somewhere in that rough area. There's no date assigned, but probably that area. Paul is writing to those at the church of Philippi. And a little bit about this, Paul is currently sitting in prison. Paul is not on his front porch with quill in hand, pending letter, because he has all the free time in the world. He's sitting in a prison cell for preaching the gospel. But he knows that there is a need to write to the church at Philippi. And so even in the midst of prison, what does he say in verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I have said it before, and I will say it again, that Christians should be the happiest people on the face of the earth. Because our sins have been washed away. We've been sanctified. We've been renewed. We should be happy, but I see some of them that are just down and out, and oh, woe is me. We should be so happy. Brethren, the Christian can rejoice in any situation if he will focus upon Christ, and that's what I want us to do this morning. We have 3 points, but before we get to them, what is rejoice or what is joy? Joy is happy. It's the opposite of sorrow. You rejoice when you hear good news. If you're a sports fan and you're a UT fan, you did not rejoice yesterday. It's just how it happens. And I don't watch sports, but I just know what happened. But you're happy. You get good news. You see a family member you haven't seen in a while. You are excited. You want to tell everybody about it. You are joyful. That's what the Christian is to be. Let's look at our points this morning. Number one, Christian joy is possible because of the past. Christian joy is possible because of the past. Well, let's look at the man, Jesus Christ himself, and let's go to the book of Luke. You get Matthew, wrote to Jews, Mark wrote to the Gentiles, the Romans. Luke, being the medical doctor that he was, showed the human side of Christ, and John, of course, wrote to prove the deity of Christ. But we see that Luke says in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 10, and this is one of the accounts of the birth of Christ. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. We're familiar with the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And what does the angel say? I bring you bad news. No. The angel says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's for all people. Jesus Christ is for all people. We know Romans 1:16, the gospel is for all. Well, let's look again in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 37 and 38. Luke 18, 37 and 38. If we get it in context, in verse 15, it came to pass that as he was near or nigh Jerusalem, that's Jesus, a certain blind man set by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitudes passed by, asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he, that's the blind man, cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they rebuked him, but he cried again. And so Jesus ends up giving him his sight. Look at verse 43. He received his sight and he glorified God. Why are we looking at this passage? He said, have mercy on me. We look at Christ. Christ brought mercy to us. As we look at our past, we should be thankful that we have mercy from God and that we don't have to answer for all the wicked things that we have done. But let's look one more time in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, Luke only has 24 chapters, and we look at the 52nd verse. In verse 50, Jesus Christ lifts up his hands, blesses them, and then verse 51, he ascends into heaven. Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses record this as well. Verse 52, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They had just seen our Savior go back up into the sky, and instead of being fearful, they were excited. Why? Because he says, if I go, I'm going to come back. And so in order for him to come back, he has to go first. In the past, through Christ, we have joy. But brethren, we also need to think about repentance. Repentance. Let's look in Luke 15. What does repentance mean? Biblically, the official answer is it's a change in mind that results in a change in action. A change in mind that results in a change in action. So for instance, if you repent of something, if you are a thief, then you would change your mind and you would stop stealing, and you would also try to pay back what you have stolen. When we repent as a Christian, we say, I'm no longer going to live that life of sin. Let's look in Luke 15 and verse 7. Context here is a man has 100 sheep and he loses one. So he leaves the 99 to go find the one. And he finds it, verse 6 says, rejoice. Verse 7, I say unto you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There is joy in heaven when a lost soul comes back. The angels in heaven rejoice. Why? Yeah, we've got 99 that are good, but one is lost. But if that one is no longer lost, last time I checked, 100 is greater than 99, is it not? Let's look again in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 8. Or a woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she called her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Well, why is this woman so upset? She has 10 pieces of silver, and now she has 9. Why is she so upset? Well, one of the customs of the day was you would take little silver coins, and you would kind of knock a hole out towards the top, and sometimes you would wear them in jewelry or maybe a headband. And if you had 10, then that signified something different than if you had 9. It meant you went down in social status. And so she wants to get back where she was. She wants to be restored to that place which she once was. And so she sweeps all over the place to find what was missing. Brethren, repentance causes us great joy and causes the angels joy as well. But you know, our past salvation brings joy as well. Let's go back a few chapters in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. At the beginning of Luke 10, Jesus Christ sends out 70 disciples in twos and pairs. He sends out 35 pairs of disciples to go pave the way for him, if you will. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, meaning that you may have power over spirits, but rather rejoice, why? Because your names are written in heaven. Jesus says you should rejoice if you have been saved that your name is in heaven. Not that you can do something else, but that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the way, how do you know that? Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. We'll come back to that one. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 now. Let's leave the book of Luke. It's been good, but other passages I want us to look at. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Acts chapter 8 and verse 39. Philip is preaching. Philip, first mentioned in Acts chapter 6, is one of those that have to take care of the Grecian widows. And the Spirit tells Philip to go meet this eunuch who's returning from worshiping in Jerusalem. And so he does. And when he sees him, he runs to him because he's been journeying for about 3 days. And he joins him to the chariot. And the eunuch is reading from Isaiah. And he's reading from Isaiah 53 where it talks about Jesus Christ. But he doesn't understand. So he asks for Philip to explain it to him. And so he starts right there at that scripture preaching Jesus Christ to him. And as they came on their way, verse 36, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believe with all thy heart, thou may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both in the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because his sins have been washed away. He understood the whole plan of God's salvation once it was expounded to him. He realized that he was in a lost situation where he could die unrepented, unbaptized. And so he says, here's water. Why can't I be baptized? He says, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He's baptized and he leaves rejoicing. Salvation brings joy. That's the past, number one. Number two, though, Christian joy is possible because of the present. Christian joy is possible because of the present. And if you're taking notes, you can probably figure out the third point. But let's stay on number two right now. What about the present? Well, we need truth. We need truth along. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 6. This is what we call the love chapter. King James says charity. But if you back up a step and look at it in context, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Paul is writing discussing the idea of miraculous abilities because in the first century people could perform miracles. And at Corinth, not everybody did the same thing, and so there were contentions arising because they all couldn't maybe heal the same way or speak the same thing. And so Paul, through chapter 13, says, yes, all these things are good, but they will not last. But love prevails. Faith, hope, and charity, but love, charity is what remains. And so that's his argument there. But if you look at verse 6, what do we learn about love? Well, love rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth or with the truth. So love loves truth. Love enjoys truth. Brethren, we should be concerned with what is true and holding on to that. But if you go to the book of 3 John, a little letter that John writes towards the end of the Bible, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then you've got Jude, then you've got the beautiful book of Revelation. But in 3rd John, just one chapter, if you look at the 4th verse, which I've heard said is my grandfather-in-law's favorite verse, 3 John in verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John is excited when his children, physically yes, but spiritually speaking as well, since he was an apostle, he helped influence so many people. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, those that I had a hand in raising and teaching the gospel, they walk in truth. And that caused John to rejoice. It should cause us to rejoice as well. There's joy because of truth. Brethren, there's also joy because of persecution. Did you ever think of that? There's also joy in the fact that we suffer persecution. James chapter 1 and verse 2, one of my favorite passages, says, Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, the working of faith works patience. But I like the way that James puts it, because he doesn't say, my brethren, count it all joy if by circumstance you face temptation. Or there's a 1 in 3 chance. No. Count it all joy when you face. Well, James, that sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? No, because it gives you a chance to get patience through the temptation. It allows you a chance to grow. If you never face anything, you never grow as a Christian. Let's look in the first century world in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Acts 5 and 41, you've got to think about the first century world. The church is new. Church started in Acts chapter 2. We're in Acts chapter 5 now. A little time has passed, but not a whole lot. Look at verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Who is his? That's Jesus Christ. So Christians in the first century world left this meeting and they thought, how lucky are we that we can suffer persecution because we bear the name of Christ. You ever think that? You think, oh yes, I'm so glad I get to do that. No, most times it seems we wish we didn't have to go through that. Brethren, persecution gives us a reason to rejoice. Jesus said, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:12, blessed are they which suffer persecution. That's a beatitude. That's a blessed are statement. But we also see, though, that we need fellowship as well here in the present. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort, yea, exceeding more joy we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. What's our context here? Paul had sent Titus to them because those at Corinth needed Titus and Paul couldn't make it at this given time. So he sends Titus. And so Paul is joyed by the fact not only were they joyed, but Titus was joyed. Why? Because of this fellowship. Do you look forward to coming to Sunday morning worship or Sunday night or Wednesday night worship? I do. I love worshiping God. I do my best to do what He said. But I love seeing you. And I love the brief minutes that we get to spend in fellowship. And that's why I always look forward, especially next week, to our gospel meeting. Because we're going to spend a lot of time here. A lot of time in fellowship. But we get joy out of that. It uplifts me, and I'd like to think it uplifts you as well. But let's see what Paul said in Philippians. Since we started in Philippians, let's go back there for a minute. Philippians chapter 2. In verse 2, because there is joy in our present fellowship. Philippians 2 and 2. Paul says, Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. Now notice, when Paul says, Fulfill my love, he doesn't say, Temporarily fill it up. Fulfill. Go all the way. It's not just a mediocre. It's all the way. And there are four things. It'd be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. He contrasts the four things he says in Philippians 2:1. Paul says they could fulfill his joy just by being present, just by worshiping in spirit and in truth. Brethren, the Christian joy is possible because of right now and what we're doing this morning. But thirdly and lastly, see if you guessed it, Christian joy is possible because of future. Christian joy is possible because of the future. Brethren, we can have full joy. Let's go back to the book of John. John chapter 15, verse 11. Let's see what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said. John 15 and 11. Jesus says that these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Brethren, we are on this earth, we can have joy, but it will not compare to being faithful unto death and receiving that home in heaven. In fact, nothing will compare to that. Christ says, I've given you these words so you can get to the place where you have full joy. But let's look at prayer in chapter 16 and verse 24. With full joy. 16 of chapter of John and verse 24 says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Brethren, we can have joy in prayer. But I want us to look one more in John. But let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. 1 John 1 and 4. John says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We can have full joy now and on into the future with the comforting words of the Bible, potentially making heaven our goal and our home if we are faithful to death. But as we start to wrap up, there's also hope for the future. You ever thought how miserable life would be if we didn't have hope? Spiritually speaking, yes, but physically speaking as well, you hope for things. You hope the weather is good. You hope to see a friend, maybe a holiday, or get a card or a call. So much more for the Christian. Hope is so important. Let's look in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. Philippians 2:16, Paul says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul says, I have that hope, that joy in the day of Christ. What's that, the judgment? That I'll be rewarded for what I've done, that I will not have worked or labored in vain. Paul has that hope. Brethren, we can have that hope as well. This morning we've looked at Christian joy. And the Christian has much to rejoice about. Watch this. His past is filled with joy because of Jesus Christ, because he's repented of his sins. His present is filled with joy because he's living faithful to God. And his future is filled with joy because of that home that we can have with God. Are you rejoicing this morning? Are you filled with joy, or is it a drudge to come to worship? Is it a drudge to live a life of Christian? If so, then your priorities aren't straight. Joy is Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Are you putting Jesus first? He said, if you do that, all these things will be added to you, Matthew 6:33. Have you obeyed the gospel? Put on Christ in baptism, you hear, you believe, repent, confess, you're baptized, just like that eunuch was in Acts 8. If you've not done that, why not do so? Don't you want this joy? It'll be yours. If you have, keep remaining faithful in death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible plainly states, if you're faithful to death, you receive that crown of life, but you have to be faithful to death. Not faithful for a while, then sit down and stop. If sin is in your life, why not come back this morning and repent of those sins? If we can help you in any way at all, please let it be known while we stand.